The epistle to be read today for the Sunday within the octave of Christmas is taken from St. Paul's epistle to Galatians chapter 4. Brethren, as long as the heir is a child, he differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. So we also, when we were children, were serving under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, and that he might redeem them who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of the sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore now he is not a servant, but a son. And if a son, an heir also through God. In the Holy Gospel. And taking from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. At that time, Joseph and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were wondering at those things which are spoken concerning him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this is the child set for the fall and for the resurrection of many in Israel, for the signs which shall be contradicted. And thy own soul a sword shall pierce, that out of many hearts thoughts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, and of the tribe of Aser. She was far advanced in years, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow until 84 years, who departed not from the temple, by fastings and prayers, serving night and day. Now she, at the same hour coming in, confessed to the Lord, and spoke of him to all that looked for the redemption of Israel. And after they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong, full of wisdom, and the grace of God was in him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Now she at the same hour coming in confessed to the Lord and spoke of him to all that looked for the redemption of Israel. These words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. During the early 1930s, the Catholic King of Spain was overthrown and the communist government was established. And so in 1937, the communists were controlling Barcelona, Spain. The communists hated the Catholic Church and wanted to destroy everything that reminded the people of God and religion. And so these wicked men used convincing propaganda to win over even these good people to their cause. And so they posted posters and billboards all over the city, promoting their ideas. One day, one of these posters caught the eye of a man named Jose Gracia. He was walking along, and he could not help but stop and read the certain poster. This poster was a picture of a great battle scene. There were mines and tanks throughout the picture. Shells and grenades were exploding all over the place. And in the middle of the picture was a communist soldier lying dead and covered with blood. And over the picture was hung a huge finger pointing directly at anyone who looked at the poster. And so Jose, as he looked at the poster, saw this finger pointing at him. And he read the inscription. And you, what have you done for communism? This poster hit Jose hard. He was deeply moved, and thus he became a convinced communist. Now, after some time, he thought to himself, what has communism done for me? He was moved by the words, what have you done for communism? But later he thought, what has it ever done for me? And then he began to think of all the churches the communists had burned. He remembered all the religious and Catholic people the communists tortured and persecuted, even though they had done nothing wrong. And so, after the war, he repented of joining the Communist Party. And he even became a Jesuit missionary to India. Now, years after this, after spending some time in India, Father Gracia had to prepare a poster for his missionary academy. And so his poster had a mission set in the background. The little mission consisted of a poor church and a small school or orphanage in the background. In the middle was a priest holding a crucifix. And some converts were scattered throughout the picture and throughout the mission. And at the top was a finger pointing at the person who looked at the picture. And the caption on the poster read, "And you, what have you done for Christ?" And so Father Gracia knew that the onlooker would eventually ask himself the same question, "What has Christ done for me?" Now, my dear faithful, in today's gospel, we have the account of the prophecy of Simeon concerning Our Lady and our Lord. I talked to you last week about Simeon. And so the gospel begins with the reaction of Our Lady and St. Joseph to Simeon's prophecy in his words. It says, "And his father and mother were wondering at those things which were spoken concerning him." They were wondering at the things Simeon asked about Christ and said about our Lord. He had prophesied that a sword would pierce Our Lady's heart, and they marveled at the prophet's words. After Simeon blessed them and made his prophecy about the suffering of our Savior and the sorrowful mother. And then St. Luke tells us a little bit about Anna. Anna was a prophetess. That is, she prophesied concerning Christ. For she knew that the Savior would soon appear in the world. And she wanted nothing else than to be able to see our Savior before she died. She may also be called a prophetess because she possessed a special gift in a special way. Especially the guidance of the Holy Ghost. She was therefore able to identify the Christ child as the long-expected Redeemer, when she saw the Holy Family enter the temple. Now, this gospel, we see just how much God loves us and is willing to answer all our desires and our prayers. He delights to answer our prayers and to fill our cup of joy to the brim. Just look at the example of the prophetess Anna. She had one desire, to see our Savior. She wanted nothing else. And because her heart was full of him and the love of our Lord, she spoke only of him. And thus she was rewarded for her love. Last week I spoke to you about Simeon and the promise our Lord God made to him that he would see the Savior before he died. Now God did not promise Anna that she would see the Savior, like he did to Simeon. And yet, he granted her desire. God planned it that she would be at the temple to see the infant Christ when he was there. How could God refuse to satisfy that longing Anna showed to see him? She was filled with love, and her one desire was to see our Lord, when so few people in the world have this kind of love for him. And so he granted her request. And so he will do the same for us. God cannot refuse our requests. He has provided and will continue to provide for us. All we have comes from him. Anything good we have is from God. And so, my dear faithful, we can all ask ourselves, like the story of Father Gracia and the sign of the mission he made, what has the Sacred Heart done for us? We can think about the many things our Lord has done for us. He, of course, became a man to redeem us and open the gates of heaven. He was born of our infirmities and carried our sorrows. He hath laid upon himself the iniquity of us all. That is, he became a man and suffered just like we do. He took upon our sins and died for them. He suffered and died the cruelest of deaths upon the cross for us. And lastly, he gave himself to us in the Holy Eucharist. And of course, the list can go on and on, listing all that the Sacred Heart did for us and all that he still does for each one of us. But now we should ask ourselves what Father Gracia wrote on his poster. What have I done for the Sacred Heart? And if we started listing the things, it would be nothing in comparison for all that the Sacred Heart has done for us. And yet, he is very happy and pleased when we do these things for him, no matter how small they may be. If they are done for love of him, they are great, of great value in his eyes. And in return, the Sacred Heart will reward us, both in this life and the next. The Sacred Heart has the same love for us that he did for Simeon and Anna, the prophetess. He wants to answer and fulfill all our desires, if, of course, they are for our spiritual benefit. So let us then give our lives in return to him by striving to do everything throughout the day according to his will, to do it promptly and cheerfully. Offer him every action you perform throughout the day. Every joy, every sorrow and tribulation, every prayer and every work you perform. Our Lady and our Lord's life were a continual sacrifice in how willingly they carried their cross for us. Let us bear our crosses for them so that we can show them how grateful we are for all they have done for us. And in doing this, we will receive the greatest consolation, even in the midst of our sorrows and hardships. If we offer all our duties and trials of life for the purpose of making a return of love to the Sacred Heart, all of these daily trials and crosses will become bearable, not only bearable, but even gratifying. For this is the secret that makes our crosses and burdens light, and our yoke sweet, when we do them for the love of God. For what is true love? True love is shown by giving and suffering for the one loved. And so when you have some cross or trial, remember, ask yourself the two questions. What has Christ done for me? And what have I done for him? God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.